This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday, a hump day. We're going to kind of, I have a couple great examples, if you will, of something we were talking about last night about how the arrangement that Democrats have with foreigners. We'll talk about that. We'll make fun of yet another rich communist who yells about rich people. It's very weird. We finally will get to emails, which I didn't get to. All that pettiness in politics and so much more coming up in the second hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, to piggyback off of kind of how we ended last hour when I was discussing about how the different parts of the Democrat coalition, they don't realize it, but they're all being left behind because Democrats themselves have found a cheaper, easier date. They just have. They found a cheaper date. Foreigners. And I laid it out. I'll play it for you again right here. I laid it out. The arrangement. How does all this work? Here I was.
There's a lot of different aspects to Democrats not being nearly as popular as they appear to be. But one of the main things is the foreigners. Because as we have discussed before, these foreigners from other cultures that suck, they vote on the two T's, tribal and transactional. It's just simple for them. You vote with your tribe, of course. And you always vote transactionally. You don't care about the Constitution. You don't care about America. You certainly don't have anything against stealing. Stealing's how you've lived your entire life. You vote transactionally. I'm going to keep stealing everything I can get my dirty hands on. You Democrats, you're going to keep protecting me while I do it. You're going to keep helping me do it. Me? I'll vote for you, though. I will get my entire block. I'll get my entire neighborhood. Everyone in my Somali clan will vote Tim Walz. It's an arrangement that works perfectly right up until the point you get some decent people in the justice system, then it all comes apart, at least potentially. Speaking about that arrangement, allow me to present you with a couple pieces of audio, if you will, that have come out now that kind of made my point for me. The first one, this is Nick Shirley. He's one of these great young journalists. I want you to listen to this interview. Remember when I said last night and many times before that, you know, we'll pay you to come here. We'll pay you while you're here. We'll help you steal. But then you're going to vote as a clan, as a block. Listen to this.
And so, for instance, why would that judge bow down to the head of the Somali mafia here?
What I can tell you is that it's a voting block. And what they say is if you do something to go against our community, we're going to vote for, and they all vote together. And there's ballot harvesting, I've seen them do it, that we're going to vote for your opponent unless you do what we tell you to do.
And so is it all purely for votes?
Yes. You're talking probably 100,000 or more people, and they're all living rent-free. They're driving a vehicle that you paid for. They're eating food that you paid for. Everything they do is something that you paid for.
And for instance, that entire block will then go and vote for one specific candidate.
They'll have one person go there and collect all the ballots, and nobody tracks. They could say they have nine people living in an apartment. They're going to send them nine ballots. And then they have someone who comes along, collects all the ballots.
Starting to understand how this works. Now, remember how I said last night that it may be in trouble, this arrangement? Well, specifically, we're talking about the Somali arrangement. It's other foreign groups, too, but the Somali arrangement may be in trouble. Why is it in trouble? Because the communists lost complete control of the DOJ. Republicans are finally starting to catch on to this whole thing, and they're starting to look into it. They're starting to expose it. And now what's happening is Democrats, communists who are in positions of power, are having to kind of acknowledge it while trying to give it
a bit of a soft landing. Okay, it's a problem, and we looked into it. We might look into it more, but you got to see, it's really not that bad. Here's the Attorney General of Minnesota, Keith Ellison.
But now there are some estimates that there could be $9 billion or more, and Noam is just suggesting they took hundreds of people off the street who were involved in fraud. Are you confident your office has done enough?
Of course we've done enough, and we're doing more every single day. This is a political matter. This is not a serious thing.
It's not serious. Look, we did some stuff, and we're going to do more, but it's not a serious thing. Here is the problem for Democrats, and this is why I am hopeful about a lot of things. I'm very not hopeful about many things, but I'm very hopeful about many things. The problem for Democrats is these foreigners you brought in, you understand the arrangement. You understand the transaction that has to take place. You have to provide them with legal protections. You have to help them steal and then protect them when they do it. Maybe, Democrats, you didn't fully understand the mindset of the foreigner, but the foreigner is going to demand a return on his investment. This is the culture so many of these people come from. Yes, I will vote for you as the tribal leader, but you're going to build me a new hut and give me two cows. You're going to build me that hut, right? You're going to give me two cows. And if that newly elected tribal leader does not deliver on the new hut and does not deliver on the new on the two cows, then there's going to be a problem. Would you like an example? Would you like to know how all these investigations into the Somali community are being received? Don't take it from me. Take it from the Somalian in Maine who got up at a public meeting and said this yesterday.
Dennis Mohammed, I'm speaking today on behalf of the Somali community in Lewiston. Some of you sitting here today, we voted for you. We elected you to protect our community interest, not creating division or go after one elected member from our community. If this narrative continues, our community will be forced to re-examine our relationship or political relationship, including our relationship with the Democratic Party and who will be voting in the future. This is not a threat.
Oh, he even threw in a little Clint Eastwood line at the end. This is not a threat. The only thing we were missing was his Somali version of, it's a promise, or however he would say it. Now, do you see it laid out exactly what I discussed with you? The same thing we've discussed so many times. It's simply a transactional relationship. Communists, Democrats, they know that the mass importation of foreigners can give them all the power they want. They would be a 20% party, a 20% party, if not for your taxpayer money being used for their politics, the mass importation of foreigners, and election fraud. If not for those three things, the Democrats would be a 20% party, and they know it. The mass importation of foreigners is everything to them. So they've worked out the most perfect arrangement in the world. We'll bring you here. You steal as much as you want. We'll put you all on welfare, murder, rape. Do whatever you would like. Just keep voting Democrat, and it's all good. The problem is they don't understand how transactional so many of these communities are. Allow me to play it again in case you need an English translator to try to understand exactly what he's saying. Let me paraphrase it before I play it. Hey, we were told we could steal. You said you could help us steal. Now people are talking about us stealing and even threatening to throw us in jail for stealing. If you allow that to happen, we're taking our business elsewhere. Listen to the Somalian.
Dennis Mohammed, I'm speaking today on behalf of the Somali community in Lewiston. Some of you sitting here today, we voted for you. We elected you to protect our community interests, not creating division or go after one elected member from our community. If this narrative continues, our community will be forced to re-examine our relationship or political relationship, including our relationship with the Democratic Party and who will be voting in the future. This is not a threat.
This is not a threat. This is a promise. If Republicans can effectively move forward and expose these foreigner fraud rings, it's going to evaporate the voting base Democrats have come to rely on. There's a lot to feel good about. There is. I swear we will finally get to some emails next. Before I get to those emails, let me give you this. Pain sucks. I know it and you know it. Daily chronic pain is so much worse than that pain where you stub your toe, which everyone hates. That's nothing compared to your knee hurting all the time. Your foot hurting all the time. I had a stress fracture one time on my foot. All day, every step you take, it's freaking soul-sucking. Have you ever tried Relief Factor for the daily pain? I'm talking about the daily back pain that gets you, the shoulder pain, the neck pain. It's an old injury. What? You know what it is? It's inflammation. That's why it hurts all the time. And you give things up, don't you? You give up doing physical things you love because it hurts. Why don't you give Relief Factor a chance? I am not asking you to subscribe or become some lifetime customer or nothing like that. $19.95 gets you 3 weeks of it. Try it for 3 weeks. If that pain is the same after 3 weeks, just stop. I think you're about to have your pain disappear and your life is about to get better. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. I'm now going to get to your emails, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Jesse, the subject of this one is, would you go? Let's say you were famous and got invited by Epstein to go to his island. Would you go? He's just the coolest guy you know who knows everyone, inviting you on a private jet to his island. You have no idea the girls are underage. It's easy for everyone to say you wouldn't have gone, but if you had no idea about the bad stuff, what would have stopped you? Says I can say his name. His name is Willie. All right, so look, it's a hypothetical that we're actually going to discuss here, but I will also say, because they were forced to, we've had recent video disclosures from the Epstein stuff, the Epstein files, videos and pictures, most of it redacted, of course. And there are some pictures and videos in there. Ugh. Those girls are very young. Let me clarify. Some that I've seen are very, very young. They're children. Right. Yes, there are plenty of ones where you can't tell and the girl's face is redacted, and you don't want to dig too deeply into that cesspool anyway. So, look, would I have gone? Let's assume I'm young, single Jesse. Would I have gone? I am inherently distrustful of everybody. If I was ever offered a trip on a private jet to go to somebody's island, I probably wouldn't have gone, only because I would have assumed there's an angle. It's not because I would have assumed he's a pedophile or something. Well, I'll tell you what. I've had the craziest offer in the world. You want to hear something bonkers? Here's something bonkers. And this is so weird to me. I don't think I've ever told you this story before. I live a normal life because I don't live in D.C. or New York, and I'm relatively new to the media. I'm not surrounded by political people or super fans or staffers. It's just me, Chris, and Corey. We're just normal people. So I live a normal life. I eat at Red Lobster, as you know. We go to the grocery store. We just do all the stuff you do. I just ran into somebody in the airport the other day. She came up and talked. We were just talking. I was eating Doritos and drinking Mountain Dew. She came up and said, "I thought that was you." That's what I do. All right. So, but I am aware that because the platform has gotten big enough, you're going to have people who are fans. And that's really cool. That's really cool to us. We still think it's wild. It's weird. There is a billionaire in a state out west that I will not mention. A billionaire had one of his staffers reach out to me, and this was the offer. He wanted to fly me on a private jet out west to play a round of golf with him. Now, I looked this guy up because I got to be honest, I was tempted. I was intrigued. Guy looked wonderful, looked like he was from a wonderful family, probably 100% legit. But maybe I'm my father's son. The second something seems too good to be true, I throw the brakes on and I walk away because I'm not sure. And that's generally a really smart move in life. It sometimes it takes years to develop self-discipline like that at all. Look, I've warned guys before. Maybe you're a dude listening to me. You sit down at that bar. You're not 25. You're 45. You're my age now. And some absolute dime in a beautiful cocktail dress starts batting her eyes at you. Buddy, that doesn't happen. We're 45 years old. That's a hooker, all right? I'm sorry. I know it hurts. You need to walk away. Finish your beer, go home, watch Wheel of Fortune, call it a night. You're just going to get yourself into trouble, right? If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. So that's how I would have responded if I was offered something. But here's an insanely uncomfortable thing that I think we should probably acknowledge is true. This super wealthy, powerful, famous world. Not the world I live in or world you live in. I'm talking about movie stars and billionaires and hedge fund guys and presidents and things like that. It's very obvious with all the stories that have come out in recent years from Puff Daddy. Didn't he change his name? I can't keep track of all these rappers. Puff Daddy to Epstein to everything. It's very obvious that these guys throw huge parties at their huge mansions. And at these huge parties, there are apparently almost always drugs. There are almost always ladies of the night that they hire en masse. And you're not checking driver's licenses on the way in the door. Clearly that, if we're being honest, evil world of debauchery is one that should probably be avoided, but it's also one that's insanely common. That's what actually gives me the skeevies more than anything else about the Epstein stuff. That's one of many. I guarantee you right now, tonight, somewhere, maybe in America, Germany, China, who knows? There's a big old party with a bunch of wealthy, powerful men doing the exact same kind of stuff. There's a world out there that you don't want to know about and don't want to be involved in, and I don't want to know about and I don't want to be involved in, but it still exists, all right? All right, we'll do a couple more of these. We have to talk about this communist. Oh, look, another rich kid who turned into a communist destroyer. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday, a hump day. If you missed any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Also, I've been very, very hard on Tim Walz. I will remain hard on Tim Walz because Tim Walz is a disgusting piece of communist trash. But I do admire the fact that in his last year in office, he intends to serve the people.
Expect for the next 11 months for me to ride you like you've never been ridden.
That level of service, you don't get it anymore. You still, now I see why him and Kamala Harris were such a great team. That people thought, what, Chris? People thought they didn't have anything in common? Clearly, they had a whole lot in common.
Expect for the next 11 months for me to ride you like you've never been ridden.
Thanks, Governor. Jesse, oh, this guy's upset. I'm going to have to do some beeping in here because this is one of these angry communists who writes the show. Why is this beeping goof, that would be me, claiming that Dems orchestrated January 6th? No one asked you stupid rednecks to come to the Capitol and riot because Trump is a coward, liar, and sore loser. You choose, he was going for, anyway, you chose to do that. Hopefully you aren't sons, you aren't your son's real father for their sake, because no one could be much of an unaccountable beep, and I can't say that last word either. Well, as far as my sons go, buddy, my 17-year-old is, I think, already 6'4", maybe 6'5". Yeah, Chris, you can't even imagine. When's the last time James was in here? It was a while. Yeah, he's a monster. He's a monster. My youngest, he's 15. He just hit 6 foot. He even looks like me. Much as you may hope, they're most definitely mine. Their favorite activity in the world, getting a rise out of their mother. Definitely mine. All right. Definitely my kids. That's one. Two. The reason you get angry and write emails full of cuss words and bad punctuation into the radio show is exactly what we talked about in the very first hour. When you give these dirty communists a little slice of the truth, it totally destroys their worldview, and sometimes they get mad about it. Jesse, was great to have you back. The breakdown of Venezuela was spot on, so on and so forth. On the side note, don't give up on ricotta cheese. I despise the stuff in the stores. I make my own super easy, creamy, and delicious. But here's the real magic. I wanted lasagna and was out of sausage, so I put pepperoni in between the layers with homemade ricotta, mozzarella, parmesan, and sauce. Legendary meal. I have been told this by ricotta cheese lovers that I have to make my own in order to have good ricotta cheese. That's like telling me to make my own parmesan rather than have the stuff that comes out of the green can. If I have to make my own, then don't tell me it's good, okay? I am not a settler on the prairie in the year 1815. It is the year 2026. I almost said 2025, Chris, but you got to think on your feet in this job. It is the year 2026. It's 2026, all right? Don't tell me I have to make my own. And stop trying to sell me ricotta cheese. And stop putting it in lasagna. And stop putting it in dessert. Have you seen this? It's in desserts now. I've seen it in restaurants. Where was I? Chili's or something? Maybe it was Red Robin. I forget. But they had some kind of lemon ricotta thing. I was freaking mortified. Mortified. Enough of this. So there's something about these communists that's, it's every time. It's every time. Lenin, you know Lenin was a rich kid, right? Always selling the, I'm here for the poor. He was a rich kid. Mao. Chairman Mao. I'm just here for the rural farmer. He's been oppressed. Mao was a rich kid. His dad was essentially a wealthy farmer who employed a bunch of people. Che, rich kid, rich kid, rich kid. You go down the list of all these commies, they're all rich kids. Now, Mamdani, the rich kid communist who just took over the city of New York, he's getting all kinds of coverage because, well, he's horrible and he's going to destroy the most important city in the world. But his tenant czar, I think is her title, which is amazing. Kai Sia, who knows, she spells her name like a weird freak. She's getting all kinds of press because she's on camera saying things like this.
So, you know, people like homeownership because they like control, and that's been perverted by like deep racism and deep classism in our society. So like we have to not have a racist and classist society. And so that's like something we need to think about like deeply.
Okay. And things like this.
I think the reality is that for centuries, we've really treated property as an individualized good and not a collective good. And we are going to transitioning to treating it as a collective good and towards a model of shared equity will require that we think about it differently. And it will mean that families, especially white families, but some POC families who are homeowners as well, are going to have a different relationship to property than the one that we currently have.
Here are some social media posts from the new tenant director in New York City. Quote, impoverish the white middle class. Home ownership is racist. Private property is a weapon of white supremacy. Elect more communists. Oh, I like that one. We'll transition from treating property as an individual good to a collective good. Private property is theft. Oh, this is a good one. I wish I believed in God so I could believe that all men who take credit for women's work and all white men who take credit for the work of women of color would one day burn. I came across the mob of 11-year-old white boy children. I don't know why we keep procreating. People like homeownership because they like control. Okay, you've heard some of these before. You know what the best part of all this is? She's a rich kid. As we speak, her mother lives in a $1.4 million home. Have you ever even stepped foot in a home worth $1.4 million? Why does this happen? How does this happen? There's a variety of reasons. One of the main reasons this happens is people don't raise their children to be gracious. They don't raise their children to have an attitude of gratitude. They don't raise their children to be kind. They think the money's going to raise their children. And so these children end up growing up without a purpose. They're not gracious to others. They don't have an attitude of gratitude. They're bitter. They're lost. They're listless. And they go track down some sick cause. Sometimes it's communism. And they burn down as much as they can burn down out of guilt, out of spite, out of so many other things. It's bonkers how many of these communist leaders are rich kids. If you are someone of means, there's nothing wrong with that. Teach your kids to be grateful, all right? All right. We have more. Next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday, a hump day. If you missed any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Also, let's take a moment and stand with Democrats and sing.
Guide her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam.
Shut up,
Chris.
Dear Dr. Jesse, could you do a history segment on the Weimar Republic? The economic turmoil and social degeneracy are obviously things that contributed to Hitler's rise in power. I think it would be beneficial for people to learn about. You know, that probably would be a fascinating topic to dig into in depth. I'll give you kind of the 30-second version here. Maybe it'll be a minute or two. Post-World War II, you have this proud country, Germany. Very, very proud people. And they're very proud of how they fought in World War II and should have been. They were an incredible army. They fought like lions in World War I. I mean, they fought like lions in World War I. They were the best army in the world in World War I. Basically, the whole world came against them, and they ended up losing barely at the end. They really could have probably pulled it off. And then at the end, the world slams down all these crushing reparations on them. They devalue the dollar. Well, now you have a new form of government that the people don't even recognize. And this new form of government, even if it was wonderful, this is the Weimar Republic, even if the form of government was wonderful, they're never going to get any credit for the people, because the people remember where Germany just was 5 minutes ago, and now my money can't buy anything, I'm miserable. And from that kind of destitute, there rose this anger. But on top of the anger, something else rose up. You mentioned degeneracy. Did you know that there was a tranny movement in places like Berlin in the Weimar Republic? Did you know that? Did you know that Hitler's Nazi party gained a real foothold in society in part because they screamed about that? They screamed about how horrible it was. Just goes to show you, horrible people can speak out against things that are horrible too, right? But in the people's desperation, you're desperate. You don't have a good job anymore. You don't have money anymore. We're this proud country. We were a Christian country. Now there's a tranny strip club on the corner, and I don't have any money, and I can't. In people's desperation, people will choose somebody, even someone they may not like, even someone who has ideas they may not agree with. People will choose somebody who promises to get them out of it. You want to hear a bonkers stat? This is a stat a lot of people don't know. All this talk about, obviously, when you're talking about Hitler and the Nazis, Jews are going to come up. Jewish people are going to come up because of the Holocaust, and they slaughtered millions of them. And it's common to think, well, yeah, the Germans were probably really against the Jews too. Oh, there were some Germans that were, sure. You know, the Jews were less than 2% of the population of Germany. Most Germans never knew a Jewish person, never met them, weren't sitting at home harboring some deep-seated resentment for them. And so when Hitler would say things about them, yeah, you know, hate all the Jews, kill all the Jews, he wrote it in his book, Mein Kampf, how the Jews screwed us in World War I, all this other stuff. You know how many Germans heard that and thought, I'm not sure about that, but anyway, you're going to get the economy back on track, right? You accept these terrible ideas that may not mean anything to you and you may disagree with the promise of somebody solving the real problems that plague you. And this is why I've warned several times before, and I'll continue to warn this. The right, America's right, right now, we had better become a lot more hardcore, a lot more anti-communist. We had better become completely committed to things like mass deportation. You know why? Well, not just because it's the right thing to do and how you save a country. But let's say right now the GOP goes soft on it. And they still may. It's not like we've deported 20 million people yet. Let's say the GOP goes soft on it. We don't want to look me. We don't want to look that. You know what happens 10 years from now? 10 years from now, a monster comes through the political system. And he has all sorts of evil, horrible ideas. I'm going to murder every puppy in America, but I'm going to deport every freaking foreigner in this country. He'll get voted in overwhelmingly. Overwhelmingly. If you, if the current Republican Party and the future Republican Party that you and I have to build, if they do not solve the huge problems that plague us now, if they wuss out like the Republicans always do, it doesn't stop at all the rise of somebody terrible. It guarantees the rise of somebody terrible because the people will demand it. They will demand it. The people will accept a worse and worse and worse version of human being to lead them in the future if the, quote, good people won't step up and do what is necessary to save our country. If you're in a town of 2,000 people in Ohio, if you're in Springfield, Ohio, and previously you had kind of a poorer middle-class town, fairly safe, everyone got along, you wake up one day and the federal government dropped 2,000 Haitians into your town. Now there's stabbings, drugs, prostitution, your kids getting gang jumped in high school every single day. You don't care about the moral failings of the future mayor as long as he steps up and says, every Haitian gone the day I take office. You will accept it. You will vote for him in a heartbeat. That is coming for the United States of America if our politicians on the right do not realize they're not near hardcore enough yet. None of them, including Trump. Now, Trump, as I've said many times before, he's not the end. He's simply the beginning. They will get more hardcore as we go. And Trump is finding this out himself. Trump's not even a hardcore guy. Just kind of a common sense guy. Yeah, get the criminals out. All right, we'll deport a bunch of mass deportation other people too. And then he'll step up to the microphone again because he's just the beginning. And he'll say, well, we still need a bunch of people from India. And then he just gets slaughtered by his own party for days on end. And then he finds out, whoa, okay, on this issue, the people are not wavering. They're not wavering. Republicans are not going to be allowed to waver on the mass deportation of foreigners. I don't care who they are. Don't care what their name is. It's no longer allowed. Now, get them out. We're tired of being pillaged. Get them out. Send them back where they came. All right, we'll talk about pettiness in politics. That'll be fun. Next.